Good evening.
Good evening.
You are the first.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute because I'm sure there'll be a...
three more minutes.
I wasn't too sure if I was still connected, so I muted for a minute. Okay, it's unusual just to hear quiet.
And no, I normally, you know, every couple of 3 minutes, after 5 minutes, I'll let you know if there's how many minutes are left, only so you know you're connected.
Okay, well, Tony's still up, so that's why I thought I'd best mute.
I understand. How's he doing?
Well, pretty good. The prednisone, the last 2 days, he's had a little bit more energy and is, you know, able to fix his own breakfast and kind of stirring around, not just always, you know, listless and really feeling bad. So I think that's helped. And they have him on a low-grade milligram antibiotic in hopes of keeping the infection down so that he makes it to Houston on the 31st and the 4th. So tomorrow we have...
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Did you enjoy the view?
Yeah, yes, I went out that... I couldn't see, so I went on NASAstar.com, and they had videoed it from India and Dublin and America, and it was spectacular.
And I went out, and the moon was bright, even though it was small, you know, for about a week old.
Right.
But there was not one star showing. It was just nothing but black sky. So.
Well, let's join me in saying the Anabakoa, please. Anabakoa. Gedulat Shemincha Dati Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Sadi Kabil Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kashin barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzaditav gimel Pasim Kadosh Virov Tuka Nael Adata Ket Kufbet Et Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shin Kufav Tariyutaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed L'Alafim, Noseh Avon V'Avon. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Parasha Yitro, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's known as Pasuk 29. We will start with the Lashem Yichud. Lashem Yichud Kud Shabar Yichu Yishkinte Bid Chilu Urchimud Chilud Chilu Urchimu Leachta Lashem Yud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nan Deku Sha Barichu Koma Diavid Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biobada Dikshot Vedlei Blach Mi Bokmila Bialma Divay Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzderich Bi Alma. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We will study a verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. In order to manifest that peace in the Middle East. The verse is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan Taktav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu V'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. The energy of our current year, 5781, is that of redemption. The redemption will happen if the children of Israel are prepared. One of the ways we prepare is the study of verse 60, chapter 66, verse 21 of Isaiah. Because the gematria of this verse is the same as the year, 781. Wagam mehem ekach lakohanim lalivim Amar Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. We utilize a tool of saying each letter out loud in sequence with its root vowel. Wahe wayo la yo sayote alame mehe shila la he aka aka heta ezayo ala da la awahe hea yo zala me be he he reyo he kome La awa kala yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za Hey, 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 shmei yocha, wa wa la, yo la, hey. Sa'a la, ra re yo, ashi la, yme yo, hey. Wa hey, wa, danu yo, hey, hey, wa, shi, hey, hey, shi, ame, me. Nu, nu, a, nu, yo, ta, me, he, pe, he, pe, wa, yo. Nu, me, yo, yo, la, hey, re, he, me, ta, re. Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko ayo wa te be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me And now we will connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sabete a me me be shi la yo hey anu a kameta hehe yo anu da la hey wa hey me ya yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo me hey me me la wa wa kabe yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo hey yo me nu hey 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 wa. Nu yo hey hey shia yo re tram shia hey re la yo awa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey ka ako me nu da anu yo hey wa me re hey a hey za hey shi
has joined
me ka wa wa la yo yo hey yasa ala. Hare yo au ala abeta he bwa he wa. Dala yo he yo shi ala me nu he a. Nu ata me la he pe a yo nu ko me. Yo re la me he me he be he me za re bwa he be yo a he. Ala wa me za yo da he be me kato. Ala a he he wa rei la he yo yo me la he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this seventh day of Tevet: Rabbi Moshe David Wally, he's known as the Rama Devali. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch, Ben the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Raphael Shlomo Lanayado, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Lehner of Ishbitz, Rabbi Shalom Yosef Friedman of Hushatan, Rabbi Yosef Eliashiov. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. The Ani meditation is a tool we use to climb the tree of life, to reach a higher level so that we can receive more in our class. We receive more in order to share. Malchut. Ye aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu. Od, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu. Netzach. Ye ahini we yohi, ye ahini we yohi, ye ahini we yohi. Tiferet, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho, yo ahoni wo yoho. Gevura, ye ash, ni we yosh, ye ash, ni we yosh, ye ash, ni we yosh. Chesed, ye aheni we yohe, ye aheni we yohe, ye aheni we yohe. Bina, ye aheni we yohe, ye aheni we yohe, ye aheni we yohe. Achma, ye aheni we yoha, ye aheni we yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. the abridged Kaddish. Then we all say Amen.
Has joined.
Kabbalah teaches that exile is a means of recovering lost holiness. This is an essay by a famous Mekubal, Rabbi Chaim ben Moshe ibn Attar. He wrote the commentary, Or Chaim, the light of the Chaim, the light of the life. Do not be afraid, for I will make you into a great nation there. This is a verse from Genesis. In order to understand the whole concept of exile, I must preface by quoting a tradition we have in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his colleagues. This is saying it's from the Zohar without saying it's from the Zohar. The purpose of the various exiles is to isolate elements of holiness, which are scattered. The purpose of the various exiles is to isolate elements of holiness, which are scattered within various branches of the klipah, the peel, or the outer covering surrounding the kernel, which is all sanctity. Inasmuch as Egypt was full of abominations, which are manifestations of the klipah, and impurity had its headquarters in that country, it was no more than natural that many such segments of sanctity were scattered throughout that country. In fact, the amounts of such scattered segments of sanctity are usually proportionate to the amount of impurity and defilement that abound in a certain area or environment. This phenomena originated as soon as Adam sinned. It has been Israel's task to rescue all those splinters of sanctity and to make them part of a whole. Our sages have said that the nation that left Egypt and experienced the revelation at Mount Sinai were previously captive within this klipah called Egypt. Egypt is a country. It means it's a narrow place, but it's also the name of a klipah. It is to such a nation that Moses said, "Who is a great nation possessing such righteous statutes?" This is a verse from Deuteronomy. God told Jacob that the purpose of Israel spending time in exile in Egypt was to enable it to develop into this great nation. The great nation, all the fragments of holiness at that time, was lost amongst all the Egyptians. And it had to be isolated and then led out from there. Unless Jacob descended to Egypt at this time, there would be no hope of accomplishing this. It was because Jacob represented holiness in a powerful and concentrated form, that he could become the magnet which would attract the various scattered segments of sanctity that still abounded in Egypt in an ineffectual form. This is the meaning of the statement in Bereshit Rabbah, that's a midrash, that Jacob did not depart from this world until he had seen 600,000 descendants. These 600,000 were the ones who endured the persecution there and were ultimately refined in what our sages call the Iron Crucible, which welded the Jewish people into a nation and enabled them to leave Egypt after having been refined. That is the end of that essay. Does anybody have any questions?
Has joined.
The next class essay is King with a Purpose, written by the author of the Shnei Luchot, the two Luchot, the two tablets. His name, the two tablets of the covenant. Shnei Luchot HaBrit is the name of his sefer. Rabbi Isaiah Horowitz. Joseph prepared the way for the complete rectification of the entire world. Regarding the rulership of Joseph, its only purpose was to enable the Jewish people to be forged into a single nation, and the kingdom of Judah from David to be established. The brothers did not understand this. They believed that Joseph wanted royalty for its own sake, for both himself and his descendants. This is why they went to Dothan to devise legal schemes to judge him according to Torah law. Dothan is where they went when they were shepherding the sheep, and Joseph was told by the stranger, who was the angel Gabriel, with two dots over the et, the Shekhinah. He was told to go, that they had gone to Dothan, and so he went to Dothan to find them. And they saw him coming. And so they were making their plans. According to Torah law, as they understood it, they all came to the conclusion that he was guilty of death. Even the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah, who were Joseph's closest friends, agreed that from the point of view of justice, Joseph was guilty. insubordination against the kingdom of David is equated with insubordination against the Shekhinah itself. He had disputed the authority of the kingdom of David. Anyone doing so is guilty of death. Insubordination against the kingdom of David is equated with insubordination against the Shekhinah itself. This is why the brothers wanted to kill Joseph when he revealed himself and they saw that he had become king. The fact that he had realized what they believed to have been his ambition made him only more guilty in their eyes. Hashem had to dispatch an angel to disperse the brothers so as to prevent them from destroying Egypt. Joseph, having received such heavenly assistance, asked his brothers to approach him in order to explain to them the true nature of his being king. He explained to them that Hashem had sent him ahead in order to facilitate their becoming a nation and Yehuda's kingdom becoming established. Joseph said three separate times, "Hashem has sent me before you." The first time he referred to the literal meaning of "Hashem has sent me ahead to provide sustenance." When Joseph mentioned the second time that Hashem had sent him ahead, he phrased it thus, "to provide refuge." The Hebrew word is she'arit, for you in the land, and to keep you alive for a great rescue. In Hebrew, the word is pleta gedola. At first glance, these words seem totally superfluous. She'arit refers to something insignificant, whereas pleta gedola alludes to something major. At the time, they did not understand the deeper meaning of what was happening. Actually, Joseph was hinting to two separate missions, which he had seen entrusted, which he had been entrusted with, in order to establish the kingdom of Yehuda. The first, a minor mission, which is to establish a base for a kingdom of Yehuda in this world. The exodus from Egypt, whereas the more important mission was that he would prepare the ground for the messianic kingdom of David. He would play the role of the Mashiach ben Yosef. He explained that the Mashiach ben Yosef would be slain as a martyr on behalf of the people of Israel, and that following his death, the enduring kingdom of David Mashiach would arise. When that would occur, Joseph's blood would be avenged. Reuben had already hinted at this development when he told his brothers that Joseph's blood was being demanded from them. True, at the time they did not understand the deeper meaning of what was happening and what was being said, but the words were inspired by Hashem, even though he had not revealed their full meaning to the brothers. Joseph's mission resulted in the development of Jacob from a clan into a nation. The mystical dimension of Joseph's historical mission was that he acted in the capacity of forerunner, not only in the story related in our parashah, but also in the distant future, when he will be killed performing a similar mission, and his blood will be avenged. This is what he told his brothers when he said, "Now not you have been sent here, but Hashem, who has placed me in the position of father to Pharaoh." Let us now concentrate on the meaning of the last words in that phrase. We will then understand how Yosef's mission resulted in the development of Jacob from a clan into a nation. Joseph meant that Hashem had appointed him to be Pharaoh's father, in the sense of being his spiritual representative. This is the significance of Joseph riding in the second chariot. We have described Egypt as the naked area of the earth. Since Joseph was loyal to the Holy Covenant with Hashem, because he should have been the issue of his father's first drop of semen, he was meant to be the ruler there, and he was supposed to take the place of the spiritual representation of Egypt. Joseph is the natural enemy of Esau, inasmuch as he is his exact opposite. Joseph was first sold as a slave to the Egyptians. This, in turn, made an imprint on the Jewish people's future, and they too became slaves in Egypt. Later on, they left Egypt as free men. Hashem executed judgments on the gods of Egypt, their spiritual representatives in heaven. Israel saw their spiritual representative dead on the beaches of the sea. Had this not occurred, we might still be enslaved to the Egyptians. The reason why Joseph has to be dispatched in the future, before the arrival of the Mashiach, Ben David, is because he is the natural enemy of Esau, inasmuch as he is his exact opposite. Esau is full of the pollutants of the serpent. Joseph, on the other hand, was singularly free of that pollution, as we have explained. As soon as the kingdom of the Mashiach will be established, the remarkable feature will be that his former enemies will make peace with him. The Klipa will then be purified, and all the Gentile nations will acknowledge the truth. That is the day when Hashem and his name will be one. Even the worstwhile Nachash, the proverbial snake, will be turned into a choshen, a breastplate of the high priest, which is spelled with the same letters as Nachash. The color red, which typified Esau, will turn white, completely pure. The color red, which typified Esau, will turn white, completely pure. This is the deeper significance of the kingdom of David, which at first glance does not appear to have been rooted in holiness. Simply consider Yehuda's involvement with Tamar, whom he thought to be a harlot. Or if you will, think about Ruth, a descendant of an incestuous union between Lot and his daughter. Even Ruth joining Boaz at night was not exactly the act of a model of chastity that we would have expected. If all these precedents did not disqualify David from becoming the role model of the eventual Mashiach, we need not marvel at the eventual purification of those descendants of Esau who will still exist when the Mashiach will be crowned king. All these apparently accidental happenings were part of God's plan. The tortuous developments which led to the emergence of David and eventually to the Mashiach are an example of how eventually all the external people and external forces outside the realm of holiness will be turned outside in and be restored to their original sacred root. That's the end of our class for today. Are there any questions? I'll just make a final comment that's unwritten. Both of these essays are enlightening to us. They bring different aspects of Midrashim together, but they also bring aspects of the Torah, and they explain that the story of the stories written in the Torah, they're explaining the deeper levels of connection that can be made through those stories. They're recognizing code words. They're bringing information from the Midrash, from the Zohar, from other places. I read through these very quickly. Each of these paragraphs take extensive contemplation. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening. Tomorrow we have four classes. Our morning class at 7 a.m. An 11 a.m. class. Our 4:30 class. And a 7 p.m. class. All of the times mentioned are West Coast times. Morning class is a prayer class, a study class of prayers. The 11 o'clock class will continue our study of the Sefer Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, the prophet. Our 4:30 class is a deep Zohar class, and our 7 o'clock class tomorrow evening is a Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening. If there's any questions, feel free to ask them.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.